See how that works out. Luke chapter 6, and we're going to finish out this portion of Scripture tonight. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? Luke chapter 6, we'll begin reading verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto them that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Father, we thank you for the time you've given. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you, Lord, for hearing these opportunities, and Lord, what's going on, Lord, with missionaries around the world, and Father, right here at home, and I just pray, just bless each one of them, Lord. I pray, Father, you just put your hand upon us tonight as we look into your word, and Father, we finish out this part of the text, and Lord, may it just find good ground in our heart. Lord, may the seed of your word just root deeply, Father, in our hearts, our lives, and Lord, who we are. I pray, Father, for your Holy Spirit's anointing upon me as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated. What have we talked about so far in these first two verses? And you can cheat and you can see what the verses say because that's what we talked about, right? But what was it kind of in particular? What were some of the themes that we've seen or heard or understood so far? Anything jump off the page, Paul?
Just trying to love people as Christ loves us.
Yeah. Yeah, to really show love towards people, and if you didn't hear Paul, the one thing he said was, it's easy to love people that we like or we get along with or that we're supposed to like, but it's hard sometimes to show love and love people that maybe we don't really care for. Absolutely. Anything else kind of jump off the page? You think about it, it says, bless them that curse you, right? Just think about that principle just for a minute. You know, the people that just don't like you or have a disdain for you or you for them, perhaps. Let's just be honest. Let's be realistic for a moment. And yet we're supposed to ask God to bless them, praying for those people. And so as we kind of think through a few things, I'll just do a very, very brief reminder or kind of a update of what we've looked at. We said about with the love of God, which Paul touched on. He says, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, right? You think about the depth of the love that's required of to have, right? To love your enemies, to love those people that you don't like, that you don't care for, that you just can't stand to be around, but yet we're commanded to love them. Why? Because God so loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. He showed ultimate love to us, and in our sin, we were the enemy of God, not because God made us his enemy, because we made God our enemy by our sin. We see about the duty of our love, that we're supposed to love our neighbor, that we're supposed to speak the truth in love. We're going to talk about that this Sunday in James chapter 5. We're also supposed to spread the gospel. That's supposed to be part of our speech and show God's love in how we live and how we act. We saw about it being with the goodness of God. We're supposed to have a working goodness. We're supposed to have a victorious goodness, right? That we have that victory that's only found in Jesus Christ. And that should be what drives us. That should be our motivation. That should be which pushes us forward and forward and forward. We saw in verse 28 where it says, "But with the blessing of God, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you." Does anyone like being used? Do you just enjoy that feeling, right? Where someone just uses you for their gain, for their good, for their benefit, and you just kind of, they just kind of leave you by the wayside. It's not a good feeling, but again, it says, bless them which curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Not that they're just using you, but they're doing it just out of spite, just out of a sense of hatred. And it's based on the grace of God. We saw that last week, that because of God's grace on us, had a young lady come out tonight, and she was asking some questions during council time, and the subject of grace came up, right? By grace are you saved through faith. And sometimes we miss, we forget, we ignore, we push aside the grace that God has bestowed upon us and giving us those things even when we don't deserve it, but he gives us those things when we need it. And we see that, of course, then also with the example of Christ, where Jesus suffered, Jesus shared the truth, and what Christ did for us. And that brings us to tonight as we kind of wrap up this portion of Scripture, and that's with prayers to God. Jesus is now teaching that we are to pray for our enemies, a command that is completely opposite to the desires of the natural man, to spitefully use you or to treat you abusively, to accuse you falsely. I shared this, I think it was 2 weeks ago, but a challenge and encouragement that if there's somebody that we just can't stand, somebody we don't like, someone we don't get along with. And listen, we can justify a million reasons why, can't we? Right? And we may not be wrong in that justification. Right? Every single reason might be just why we can't stand that person or why we don't want to be around that person. But here's what we have to do. Here's what we're commanded of God to do, and that's to pray for them. And if we pray for those people, and I mean, we fervently pray. Now listen, this isn't praying for people. And God, be with Paul. You know I don't like him. I can't stand him, but just be with him. Amen. Right? That's not praying for, that's not true, stop it, right? That's not praying for Paul. God, just do a work in Paul's life. Do a work in my heart. Lord, help us to be able to connect in some way. Help me to be if the person's unsaved, help me to be a testimony to them. If that person is saved, Lord, use your Holy Spirit to stir their heart, and Lord, may there be a kinship between us, and really praying for those people. How often do we do that? How often do we sincerely, fervently pray for people that frankly, maybe we just don't like, that they use us, right? Or that there's just some issue there for whatever reason, but do we pray for them? We see the exercise of prayer and supplication. It's important to remember that it's God's will for all men to be saved, even those who hate the Bible and his people. Even those who hate the Bible and his people, it is still God's will for them to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, I exhort, therefore, that first all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made. And those last three words, it says, for all men. He goes down into depth as far as the type of prayer and the depth of prayer and the reason for prayer. When he talks about the giving of thanks and the intercessions, the supplications, the prayers for all men. Right? We're not supposed to, sometimes we kind of mentally kind of judge or scale out in our mind. Like, well, these are the people that, you know, they're in my A group. And I'm going to pray for them and I'm going to love on them and just ask God to bless them. But the people that are kind of down here around the, you know, H or the I group, kind of lower, you know, I'll pray for them. I say their name, but I just kind of move on. And verse 2 says, for king and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God and our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Listen, if you don't pray for somebody about anything else, that's what we should pray for everybody about, and that is for their salvation. Because no matter how much we don't like them, how much we don't agree with them, how much we don't stand where they're at, we still need to pray for their salvation. Listen, I don't care what political leader you do or don't like. I don't care what political leader you think is just a rat and a scumbag and a dirtbag and just garbage. I don't care. You should be praying for them. Why? Because if they would die unsaved, they're separated from God forever in hell eternally. We need to pray for everybody's salvation. We see the example in prayer of Jesus in verse 28. Jesus commanded the disciples to pray for those who treat them with spite or with malice. Look back at verse 28 here as soon as I find it. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which again despitefully use you. Again, just think about that for a moment. In Luke chapter 22, verse 34, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Right? We see this example of Christ. We see his example of him praying. And we know that not only did Peter deny Christ, the third time, what does he do? He curses the very name. right? That disdain that he had there because he didn't want the affiliation. But we know that it says, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. We see that example of Christ. Even when he knew someone's reaction, whether it was Peter's, whether it was Judas Iscariot, regardless of Pharisees and the Sadducees, regardless, he still had a love for them. He still had a heart for them. And then we move into verse 29. Look at verse 29, "And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, also offer the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also." Now jump down while we're here to verse 37. The second part says, "Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." You see, with the forgiveness of God, the love of the kingdom is marked not just how we act, but also by how we react. Right? It's not just how we treat people, but how we react to situations. I will tell you this right now. When we're in the world, whether it be those that we work with or those who we just deal with on a regular basis, more will be told of our testimony by how we handle a bad situation in life than anything else. Right? How we react to situations, right? When someone comes up and just gives you the business or yelling or screaming or cursing or whatever the case might be, those who are watching you and how you react to those situations will go much further with your testimony with them than anything else. And I can tell you that from personal experience. I can't tell you how many times I would be standing at the counter or standing in the aisle and just somebody is just cussing me out. I mean, they're just yelling and screaming and spitting and wailing and going nuts. And, you know, I'm not saying I always put up with it. I'm not saying that, but I didn't go on the offensive. Right? And after they would leave, sometimes I had a couple times where there was either a customer or an employee that would say, "You know, Tim, how in the world did you not just throat punch that person?" And I said, "I did in my mind, but just being honest, but just sharing with them, you know, listen, it's the love of God. It's not me, it's Jesus." That kind of testimony will go so much further than anything else. The love of the kingdom is marked not just by how we act, but how we react. When the world persecutes Christians, we should respond by offering forgiveness, just as Christ offers forgiveness to the world where most people will reject him. Now, here's something, let me just kind of do a sub part here. This isn't telling us that we should be purely passive. Okay, there are religions, there are cultures that say, well, because of this, we shouldn't even defend ourselves. We should just take every piece of abuse that comes. That's not the case, right? In Luke chapter 22, the end part says, "And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one," right? Even Jesus was pro-gun. Nothing? No? Okay. Well, anyway. But he said, no, you should have that. You should have that to defend yourself. This passage isn't about not defending yourself. This passage isn't about being abused, but rather it's how we react to situations. It's how we handle those problems of life. When someone smacks you on the one and you offer the other cheek, it's not we're doing that out of passivity. It's not that we're doing that because we're just some weak and worthless individual. We're doing that because we're trying to show the love of Jesus. It doesn't mean you just take and you just stand and just take a beating either, right? We're able to defend ourselves. We're able to do that. But we should have the heart that we are willing to suffer, that we're willing to suffer. Again, look at verse 29. "He that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also." We need to remember that Jesus suffered unimaginable pain on the cross to save us. And Christians must be willing to suffer for Christ's sake. We must be willing to suffer for our testimony's sake. In Isaiah foretold the prophecy of the pain that Christ would endure. In Isaiah 50, verse 6, it says, "I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." That is prophesying of what Jesus is going to do. He gave his back to the smiters, to where he had the cat of nine tails, and he was beaten. They plucked the very hair out of his face, his beard. They were from shame, and it says from spitting, where they literally spat on him. And we see that in the crucifixion story. We see the humiliation that Christ went through. You see, people were often slapped in the face in this culture when they were barred from attending synagogue. Jesus is not teaching here to remain defenseless when people attacked. He's simply saying that we should be willing to face public humiliation while continuing to love. It's one thing to be publicly humiliated. It's one thing for the cause of Christ, right? It's one thing to take our stand and people to just call us out and call us down and persecute us. That's when we're supposed to take this. That's the heart and the mindset behind it. Matthew 5:39 says, "But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to the other also." Right? That idea, that heart reason behind it, that you're not doing it because you don't want to defend yourself. You're doing it for the cause of Christ, for your testimony. Then the last part of verse 29, he talks about, he says, if he take his cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat also. The second illustration that Jesus gives is similar to the first. The picture here is robbery, and Jesus is commanding the person who was robbed to not seek revenge. Let me help clarify a few things here as well. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago, and I don't remember if it was 2 or 3 weeks ago in James, we talked about there was different ways in which people could show their wealth. Do you remember what any of those were? I know, that was Sunday, this is Wednesday, totally different. Remember what any of those were? There's ways back in Bible times, there was three in particular we looked at, where people could show their wealth. You remember what any of them were? So one was by their food, right? They would store up their food, right? And the Bible talks about moth and rust doth corrupt and things spoil and thieves break in and steal. They would also save up if they were very wealthy with gold and silver. But another way that they would show their wealth is by their clothing. And not just by their style of clothing, though that was part of it, but also the number of layers of clothing, right? So if they had multiple layers of clothing on, typically it showed status, it showed a portion of wealth. And so when he's saying here, if someone comes and takes thy coat, take thy cloak also. In other words, hey, if they want one, give them the second, right? Have that willingness to give of them. And they're not doing it out of a need-based reason, right? They're stealing from you. They're not doing it wholesomely. They're doing it spitefully. And Christ says, have that heart of humility. Have that heart of just willing to give. Have that heart of just being willing to yield to those things for the cause of Christ in the name of Jesus. But then the last part of verse 37, look there with me. It says, forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Read the first part too. We'll read that whole verse. I'm sorry. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. What's that talk about? Keep it simple. Grace. Sure. It's very simply. It's forgiveness. Right? Here's a mindset we typically tend to have, and it's not right, all right? I'll just say that is, well, they don't deserve it, right? Do you ever hear someone say that? They don't deserve to be forgiven, or they don't deserve grace, or they don't deserve, fill in the blank, whatever it might be. Listen, you're right, they don't. But guess what? Neither do we. They don't deserve grace. They don't deserve forgiveness. They don't deserve me to turn the other cheek. They don't deserve for me to take my cloak and my coat. They don't deserve. No, they don't. But neither do we. We do not deserve. We did not deserve the work of Christ on the cross. We do not deserve the grace that he gave to us through dying and overcoming death and sin and overcoming those things so that we might be saved. We don't deserve any of that. It's only by his grace. And that's where we have to remember that through these things, we need to show the same type of grace that Christ did, the same type of love and compassion and endearment that our Heavenly Father did. We need to have a heart that's ready to forgive. Through his death on the cross, Jesus offers forgiveness to all, regardless of the depth of sin a person might be involved in. Because Christ forgives us as unworthy sinners, we should also forgive our enemies. Let's look at a couple verses here as we close. Luke chapter 6, we're right there, so look at verse 31. "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise." Right? What do we sometimes call that? Do unto others, the golden rule, right? It's a principle a lot of times we teach our children, or at least we should teach our children, but we should also live it as adults, is that how we want to be treated by others is how we ought to treat others. Right? If you want somebody to be nice to you, you better show some niceness to them. You better show some compassion. You better show some grace. You better show some love. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll look at two more verses here. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, excuse me, verse 5. "Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God." Judge nothing before the time. Listen, we're not the judge. We're not the jury. We're not the one who decides. We're not the one who makes that final decision. We're not the one who gets to choose those things. That's the latter part of the verses, "and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts." That's a scary phrase, that he's going to show the counsel or the desires of the hearts. How's your heart? How's your heart towards people? How's your heart towards people, listen, that you don't like? How's your heart towards people that despitefully use you? How's your heart towards people that want to rob or steal or otherwise from you? We have been robbed, our house has been broken into, not this house, okay, but in our past, three different times, right? First time kind of was what it was. The second time, we didn't even know they did it until that evening, and like we went to find, you know, a tablet, and it was gone, and then we looked to find something else, and it was gone. We realized what had happened. The third time, though, they literally broke in, right? And I mean, they just trashed the house. They just trashed the house. Now, my heart towards those people was not good. I'll be honest, right? I'm just being totally honest. If I would have walked in and found them, it would have been a not good situation. If I would have caught them, it wouldn't have been a good situation. But yet, that's not the heart that we're supposed to have. That's not the heart that Christ has for people. Now, again, I'm not talking about defending yourself. I'm not talking about defending your house and your property. Those are different conversations, different topics. But it's just that heart behind it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That verse just speaks volumes, and we could preach forever on this, and we could study forever on this. Be kind one to another. Kindness is lost in our society, isn't it? Right? If you don't know what that is, go drive on the highway. Go drive on these back roads. Yeah, doesn't matter, right? Go to Walmart or the grocery store, and you're not going to find a whole lot of kindness or compassion or empathy. It says tender-hearted. What's tender-hearted mean? It means just what it says, right? Just a soft heart. Just a heart of compassion, a heart of caring, a heart of love, forgiving one another. There's no clause here of who we should forgive or why we should forgive them. We're just told to forgive them, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Here's the piece that we're almost done. I just want to close out with this verse thought on, is we have to get out of the "I deserve" mentality. Right? We have to get away from the, well, it's owed to me, or I deserve this, or no, you don't. I don't either. None of us do. Nothing is deserved of us, but rather all things we need to give to the Lord. In these few short verses that we've gone through, Jesus outlined how his followers are required to respond when faced with hatred from the world, respond with love, goodness, blessing, prayer, and forgiveness. Now I want you to hear this last sentence. The foundational truth of this teaching is that our treatment of others is based on Christ's treatment of us. Our treatment of others is based upon Christ's treatment of us. Is that true of us? How we treat others, do we see that reflective, that reflection of how Jesus treats us, or is it very different? How we live and how we act and how we deal with problems in life, is it reflective of Christ's love for us and how he dealt with us and his grace for us? Or is it very different? We need to keep those things in mind at the forefront of our hearts and mind as we deal with people each day.